In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We should always know why we celebrate a certain feast. We should know why we do anything. We shouldn't do things blindly without any knowledge. We should understand. Now, sometimes we understand that we don't understand things, and we do things out of faith, but never blind faith. Now, this is one of the great feasts of the Church, and it has a very important message to us. It actually has three main messages. But one of these messages is so profound that it should guide our life. It should be something that energizes us and makes us do what is right, what is good. Because this promise is that we will abide in the heavens at the right hand of Christ with our body and our soul, a perfected body and a perfected soul. This is what the Lord's ascending into heaven teaches, the main point. He went up into the heavens in his body. Now we know that bodies don't float and they do not fly, but his is a perfected body, and a perfected human body is not subject to physical laws as ours is. And so he rose into the heavens to be with his Father in the flesh, because Jesus Christ, the God-man, is God and man in the flesh. He is human. He didn't change into something that was not human after his resurrection. He became actually more human. I've told many of you the somewhat, perhaps, controversial statement with some people, provocative statement, that none of us are human. Nobody in this room is human. Jesus Christ is the measure of what a human being is. We are attaining to that. We are born in the image and likeness of God, and then because of sin, we cannot attain to the likeness of God fully without baptism. And then we're baptized, and then we struggle to learn the commandments and follow them, to love God above all things, and we become more human. We learn to love as God loves, and we gain the knowledge that God has, and the purity and the holiness that He has. And only when we become pure and holy can we really be considered to be human. So the Lord, the archetypal human, the last Adam, rose into the sky, and so shall we. In Thessalonians, it says that we will do this at the end of the age. And Thessalonians applies to this particular story as well, and I'll tell you how in a moment. But the main story here of ascension is we are going to rise and be with Christ. Now, that's not just a fact to file away, to know. That should motivate everything you do in your life, that it should inform everything you do. As I said to Marie and to all of you after her baptism, that there are things that are dead and things that are alive. And we must be dead to that which is dead and alive to that which is alive. And if we are alive to that which is alive, that is Jesus Christ, then we will rise with Him and be with Him in the end, in the eighth day, which is an end without an end, eternity, with God in perfection, and the knowledge of Him where there is neither sighing nor sorrow, but life everlasting. So that's the main story. And I can't teach you to have this motivation, but I hope it does. When I became a Christian, an Orthodox Christian, I was amazed at the promise that was given to me, because I had come into belief in Christ in a kind of a standard Protestant way, thinking I was a sinner, asking Jesus in my heart. I would preach on beaches this message to people. I went on a two-month-long evangelism trip to tell people this message. In the middle of telling people this message, I thought, this is not all the message. It's not just that you're forgiven your sin. It's that you can be perfected. You can be changed permanently. And you can ever grow in Christ. The ascension is another piece of this promise. To be honest with you, I think the ascension is a greater feast than Pascha. Now, of course, Pascha is the beginning of it. Without Christ rising from the dead, there would be no life. St. Paul talks about that, that if Christ didn't rise from the dead, we're people to be most pitied. But that's only the beginning. In ascension, we see some of the end. We see what's going to happen. And so I would beg of you, let this completely direct the way you live your life. Let it be the uppermost thing in your heart when you make moral decisions, when you decide what is good or what is bad, what you should do, what you should not do, what you should value, what you should not value. Let this always be in your heart, and you will not be far from the kingdom of God. In fact, you will enter into it. So that's the major thing about this feast. It's not a small thing. It should inform everything you think about, everything you do, everything you choose. But there are other things in this feast too. And that is that the Lord had promised, we see it in the gospel reading that we read, that the Holy Spirit would come upon the apostles not many days from now. He was telling them on the day of the ascension, not many days from now, that the promise of my Father would come upon you, tarry in Jerusalem and wait for it. In other places, before his crucifixion, before his passion, he told them, if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit will not come. So he went away. On ascension, he went away. He no longer walks the earth. We can't be fishing and he tells us, let down the net, because he's no longer walking the earth. He's expecting us to fulfill his work, the church, to do what he has taught us to do. And so he went away, and not many days later, 10 days exactly, the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost. And with the Holy Spirit coming, we are completely capable of eternal life, of knowing the deep things of God that only God can tell us. And he tells us by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We can't learn them from a book. We can't even learn them from life experience. We learn them from the Holy Spirit speaking the deep things of God in groanings that cannot be uttered within our heart. And that promise came true after the Lord left as he said it would. And then the third thing about the ascension is that it's kind of a little bit funny, actually, the way that St. Luke puts it, and I'll read it to you. Let me find it real quickly. So he had risen into heaven, and they were gazing up into heaven. I think we would all be doing that too. And so two men came. Of course, these two men were angels. While they steadfastly looked towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken from you into heaven, shall also come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And then it mentions that they were at the Mount of Olives. And so we know that at the end of time, at the last trump, which is described in Thessalonians, that the angels and the Lord and the entire church, the church triumphant, those that have died before us, and the living in the church, those still with living, breathing human bodies, will rise up into the air with Christ, and we shall be with him, and that begins eternity with him. So the angel said, in the same manner in which he rose up, that's the same manner in which he's going to come back over the Mount of Olives, but in glory and in majesty, and the entire world will see. The entire world, all men that have lived, all men that have died, all men that remain among the living, everyone will see this cataclysmic event, which will happen in a flash. And God will see into our hearts immediately, instantaneously, and all will be apparent. And those that have struggled to become like God, those who have lived according to this promise of the ascension, those who have been dead to the things that are dead and alive to the things that are alive, those will be with him in eternity forever. That's what we are celebrating today, these three things. In the ascension. The only way that this impacts your life is if you make it important. If you're a secular person, a worldly person, if you know more about a particular TV show than you know about the gospel, you're not going to do too well. You should be reading the gospel so that it's familiar to you, so that it's dear to you and sweet to you. You know, we're supposed to be like little children to come unto Christ. Well, any of you that have children, or cousins, or anyone else for that matter, you know that a child gets a favorite book, and they want you to read this book over and over and over and over. Sometimes you could read that same book 10 times in a row, and you want to read a different book, but that's not the book. They only want one book, because that book is dear to them and sweet to them, and they understand this book. So it is with the gospel. You should be like that with the gospel. You should read the gospel and know the gospel, because the one in the gospel who is illuminated to us is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the one who makes these things possible for us. So may God illumine you. May you order your life according to this truth. Let it not be something that's just sort of like a something you know. Let it be something that guides everything you do, everything you say, everything you believe, everything you value. May God help you in all things. Amen.